This podcast is a Planners and Wine production. What's up, guys, and welcome back to Reality and Wine. This is a Drag Race edition. I am Myra, and I am here with my friend Danny. Danny, how are you?
What is up? I'm doing great. I'm just off an episode of Drag Race, so I'm feeling fantastic. How are you?
I'm excited to get into this episode. I will say, I know we talked about just a little brief. talked about this episode, but I'm still digging the two-part premiere because now I can put name to faces to pretty much all the girls on this season at this point.
So. Yes, I already feel very comfortable saying all, like, with all the queens. And granted, there's only, like, 14. I'm just thinking because, like, you know, I listen to Reality and Wine with Allure and Meg. And so I listen to The Bachelorette. And, you know, there's, like, 30 girls. And so I don't have a freaking clue who anybody is yet. But, like, two-thirds of them are all just, like, blonde and blue-eyed. So it's just, like, who are you? Which one? So I'm happy. I am happy to be in my element right now and to have seven queens and seven queens. Like, this is perfect.
It's so much more manageable. It is so much more manageable. But let's get into this episode.
Do we need to start with the thing we missed from episode one before we get into
episode two? The big thing on our notes that says don't forget.
Yes, I was like, literally that's my one job tonight. I was like, I am not gonna forget, because we gotta give Mama Ru her props. I don't know how do you feel about Mama Ru kind of mixing it up and giving us some dance numbers like she did in episode one? How do you feel?
I loved it. Really? Okay. Was it controversy?
I've heard some people, I hear people who are like, she just needs to sit down, which I'm like, as someone who is, you know, on the younger side and didn't get to see like Mama Ru when she was Mama Ruing it up, you know, I love seeing her, even if it's just little and, you know, it's just that little like, cause you know, she's a queen who's been around the block. So like we can't.
Right, yeah.
She did her kicks and her splits. She doesn't need to do that anymore. So if she does a little sidestep, you know, and has some cute boys in the background dancing, I'm okay with it. I love it.
I was fine with it. I mean, I feel like it was low-key a flex to tell everybody, like, this is my show. I'm still that bitch. I've been that bitch.
I will always be that bitch. That,
period. Are y'all gonna keep coming back for more? So I guess I must have passed or just don't have those people that was like negative. I loved it. I thought it was cute. I love that it's from the new album. So we get a little taste of what we're going to get from that. I thought it was fun.
Okay. I'm glad because she did something. Was it at the finale of last season? She also did a dance number.
Yes. Yes. And I thought that was cute too. And like you said, it's just a little two-step here. Walk back from the catwalk. It's not
but that's
that
all
big
she
a deal,
needs.
But yeah.
That's all she needs. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she's done it all. She can do what she wants. And I'm here for it. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. Still in heels, still looks snatched and amazing. So let her do her thing. It's her show. So
I love it.
Yeah, I loved it. And I'm sorry, guys, we forgot that last week. But we did not forget it this week.
Exactly. We were not going to forget it. It was in like three different parts of these great notes, by the way. I got to give Myra her props. She killed it with notes this week. I have my phone pulled up and I am so ready. Like, I'm not going to forget nothing because she got it down. So thank you, Myra.
I will say I stole these screenshots from somebody on YouTube because whatever the app I use just does not allow you to use screenshots, but that's fine. That's fine. I'm not putting it on YouTube, but it's fine. So they did like majority of the work for me. So thank you.
Thank you. Props.
Props to you. So episode two, we are walking into the workroom And first in, well, technically not first in, but first in on this episode is Georges. What do you think?
How do you feel? Oh, okay. I don't know if it's the Latina, you know, badass vibes, but I personally am loving Georges. What'd she say? The gorgeous Georges, like, and the little yes. head little thing. I'm here for it. I have my qualms with it, but like I'm loving it. And her entrance look, this little red number with those long ass ponytails.
Oh, it's the ponytails for me. Yeah.
It's the ponytails. Like, and she kept like pulling on them and pulling mm-hmm. them out. And I was like, okay, Ariana, like, okay, Ari. Like it was giving me what it needed to give for an entrance look. You know, and the painted face. Yes. Like I can't be mad at it. You know, especially how do we know? I have it in my old notes. How old is this girl? Because she is not old.
She's not. And she made it very apparent several 21. Times.
21. Yes, 21. We can talk about that. I'm more than happy to talk about that. But 21, like, holy crap, girl. Holy crap.
She's really tiny, too. She yes. is pocket size. She is pocket size. But I love her. I love the entrance look. I think it's given, we know who Georges is from this entrance look. I just adore her. I think she's going to be fun. Yeah. Like, I even love her confessionals. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It like the personality is very similar to like, I don't want to put her on the same level as Shangela, but just like the energy, like, you know, like the first
time I get what you
like, came on the stage, we were like, oh my God, I love her. She wasn't polished. But we loved her. I feel very similarly about Georges, except Georges, I mean, she's got some polish to her. Like, she's given it. But I'm vibing. I'm vibing, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And I will say her tights are her skin color, which a lot of people had a problem with this episode.
Oh, I see that. I'm a little colorblind, y'all. So sometimes those little things don't bother me. And it's not because I don't care. It's because I don't see it. Because for me, I'm like, it's good. But then now I see it. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But next in, we have Deja Sky.
Okay. What did you think of Deja Sky, Myra? You go first this time, because I want to know.
Deja Sky, I love her. I love her personality. I feel like she would be my friend if I knew her in mm-hmm. real life. Like mm-hmm. these are my kind of people, but I did not like this entrance look. It just I feel like really? I know what she was going for, but I don't feel like it really executed well. And I don't know if like the white part or the sheer part is supposed to be a nude illusion, but it's not nude.
I would say I think I vibed with it just because it was giving me like pink poodle dress, like very, I don't know what is that, the 20s, I don't have any idea, like that kind of vibe. Like I'm in a diner, you know, kind of moment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't think that she was going for nude, because on the close-up shots it had like a pattern in it, the white it had like a little bit of a pattern, so it was, for me, it was like either it was like trying to be like a stoned moment or like pearly, I don't know what it was. But Jonathan even mentioned it, you know, when we were watching it together. He was like, oh, I love this because it's like patterned. And I was like, oh, okay, so not a nude illusion. Because we were talking about last episode with June and how her like nude moment wasn't really nude. And so it was kind of confusing. And we were like, no, this is not that. But I was enjoying it, especially the blonde wig. I don't know. It's like, it was a statement for me, but I can see what you were thinking.
Yeah. Maybe I need to go on her Instagram to kind of get more of a reference, but mm-hmm. but if you have to do all this extra work, I don't think you hit them, you know, you hit
exactly. Them exactly. Yeah. I did love her. Let's get thickening.
Yes.
And embrace the curve. I was like, okay. Yes.
Will say proportions is right. I love how thick she is and how it's very hourglass. It's perfect. Like,
yes,
padding, absolutely perfect. I just really, it's more so just the top for me. I mean, I don't even mind the skirt.
Yeah, I can see that too. Especially, and it's got like a weird shape to it. But you know, I'm not a fashion person. Like, I don't know. So I give a lot of leeway there because I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's just runway. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not like the top fashion person either. So maybe that is runway, and I just don't know what some of those things.
And I'm like, that's weird. And then everyone's like, oh my god, it's the best. I'm like, are you sure? Because that looks like they got it off the street, y'all. But
okay. Right. Okay. Yes.
She does paint a good face too. Sorry. I didn't mean
True. I don't really, like I said with last week's episode, there's not like too many busted queens. Like, I feel like everybody faces right. Like they know their faces.
Exactly. I would agree entirely. Okay, then next we have Jasmine Kennedy. And I don't know if this is a hot take or if it's, you know, like controversial at all, but I think Jasmine Kennedy walking out has officially decided for me that I just don't care for feathers. This is just a preference thing. So I'm not saying that this is a bad look at all. Like, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think I've just decided that every time someone comes out with feathers, like, it gives me Big Bird. I don't know. You know, it's not that Jasmine doesn't look gorgeous. It's just like, I think I've decided I don't care for feathers. But what did you think? Because I couldn't look past the feathers, but what did you think of Jasmine?
Yeah, I don't like this look either. I don't mind feathers. Like, if we go back to George's, mm-hmm. like, I thought that was really good. And I don't know if that's ostrich or, look, we don't know feathers here. Sorry. But
and obviously I don't, because I love George's look, but apparently if that's also feathers, then I must have a very specific feather I don't like. And I don't know what it is. So it doesn't
matter. Maybe. Yeah, because this definitely not the same feathers that George's had. And the ones that George's have just gives me very expensive. And Jasmine is not giving me that. I don't know. I don't like this cape thing on one side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's kind of throwing me off. But like we said, like, nobody's like busted like in the face. Like, she's painted. I love her face. She looks absolutely amazing.
Oh my god, the angles.
Yeah. And she has really good cheekbones. Yes. But yeah, it's the one arm cape thing for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm not feeling.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't remember what she said walking in either.
I don't think I got anything written down. So, you know, too bad.
Yeah, it just wasn't memorable. Yeah,
exactly. Which, and we can get to her stuff later because she is a memorable queen. It just
this walk in. Yeah. For me. Yeah, I totally agree. Another person Maddie walks in next. Let's just say that.
Okay, I didn't know. Oh my goodness. Our controversial straight queen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We're going to end up talking about that so much with this season because it's just going to be
kind of over it.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I was watching some TikToks and I don't think that this is Maddie's fault. I don't think Maddie is the one, like, hey, y'all, I'm the token straight person. Like, hey, I just want you to know I'm straight. Like, I don't think it's her. I think that, I don't know if it's like RuPaul or some producer that's just like, we are paving the way for the future. We need to make this known. But I digress. What did you think of Maddie Morpheus's entrance look, Myra?
I did get the reference as soon as he walked in. I don't like it though. It's very much so just bowling shirt that was kind of cinched in at the waist. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it just need to be a little bit more drag, you know? Okay. Like, it's not a bad look. I just wanted more from it, if that makes sense. I did get the guy reference. Like we watch Guy and know who he is. So I did get it as soon as they walked in, but I just don't feel like it's more drag. I drag it up.
Yeah. Agree. I can totally see. I was really into it just because like I felt the like campiness of it just because mm-hmm. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, who would dare, you know, gender bend Guy Fieri in a dress other than a drag queen. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I definitely thought that was really funny, and I was cackling when she walked in. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe we have Guy Fieri walking into the workroom right now. But I will agree that the outfit is very basic, if for lack of a better
word. Yeah,
And like, I wonder if maybe she had like done bigger hair, if it would have just felt more drag, you know? But she was really trying to go for that in your face, this is Guy Fieri, mm-hmm. but also a drag queen. The hamburger purse, I appreciate it, especially when we had the hamburger moment with, who was that, Orion's story, and I didn't like that. I was like, okay, well, way to take hamburger and actually make it work. But I agree. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what I would change, because I feel like I want more, and maybe Maddie was thinking the same thing. Like, I want it to be very on the nose, because even the hair is Guy, like, that's Guy's hair.
Yeah, that's
so nice. Yeah, maybe he wanted to be very on the nose, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm missing some drag. Drag is big and bold and in your face.
Exactly.
And I don't feel like this is it, but
mm-hmm.
speaking of drag.
Woo! Come on. Come through.
Miss Angeria. Paris Van Michaels.
The Southern Belle from the ATL. She did not, like, she gave us every second of that branding, mm-hmm. and I was here for it. I literally finished the episode, and I, like, turned the episode off, and I went, well, the Southern Belle from ATL, and
yeah,
like, I want to be her. I want to be Angeria's best friend. What did you think of her little polka dot number?
I loved it. I absolutely love like black and white polka dots paired with a solid red. Like, I just love that combo. I just, the gloves. It's just, this is like, the way I got into drag was very pageant. Like, that was my first interaction with drag. So I kind of am a little biased and love more pageant type drag. And this is pageant down. So there's no errors. Where are the errors? There's no errors. It's absolutely perfect.
Finding a flaw, because I don't see it. I mean, the hair is tall and giving mm-hmm. me Southern Belle goddess. The umbrella is everything. I want my black polka dot Angeria umbrella now.
Yes.
And her personality is great. She was just like giving me everything. And so officially on Team Angeria as well. Don't mind everything I said in the first episode about being on Team Corporate. We will figure that out at another episode. Okay.
This is gonna be so hard, because I adore both of them. And honestly, they can't be any different. Like, they are on two both ends of the spectrum. As far as like personality and drag type, but they're so good.
Exactly.
They're so good.
So good.
I love it. And I have been saying, let's make a shake, honey, all day. I don't have the Southern accent, so I can't do it. I'm not even going to try on this podcast, but I wish I did.
It was so good. I like RuPaul and all throughout this episode. It's just like, can you keep speaking to me, please? Because I want to hear your voice more. And I was like, same. I want to go to her drag show, and I want her to be the host so that I can just soak in
just
it.
Just hear her voice. And speaking of accents, I love the segues.
We're killing it. I'm like, what? I thought this was going to be hard. Oh my goodness. That accent.
We're professionals. We are professionals.
Lady Camden, the bubblegum princess from I don't know where in the UK, but now she's in the US and she's here on Drag Race. What did you think? I don't know if it's my turn to start. I don't really care. You go first.
Okay. I mean, I'm not mad at it. It's very Spice Girls. Like, she definitely, you know, when she walked in, gave who she is.
Exactly.
I mean, it's her. I feel like I'm trying to make compliments. I'm not mad at it, but it's like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion, I guess.
I will say, yes, I think my opinion at the beginning of the episode is different than my opinion at the end of the episode. Just because, like, when she walked in, it was just like, whoa, okay, Spice Girl. I love the hair. I thought that the big hair was kind of fun, but I also didn't quite know what was going on, just because it's just like this really crazy kind of colorful number with like a candy bra, you know, going on. But I think by the end of the episode, you're like, oh, that's you. That's who Lady Camden
is.
Yeah,
that's,
you don't know that at the beginning, but you know it at the end. And so now at the end, I'm like, this is an iconic look for you, because this is literally who you are. And I have to, I respect that. Is it my favorite look in this lineup? No, but is it a good one that does a good job in this first episode of showing who you are? I think so.
Yeah, I think it meets the assignment of showing who you are. But like you said, we don't know that walking in, that this is her aesthetic. I love that she said that her drag is a tad bit tacky, but it works. And I feel like this outfit is just that. Like, it's a tad bit tacky, but it works for who Lady Camden is.
I feel like that's also two-thirds of my life. It's like, oh, it's a tab tacky.
Just tab. Yeah,
as I put on my hoodie for like the 12th day in a row, and I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm comfortable. It's fine. And then we had our final queen, Miss Daya Betty. And she came in, I think someone said Pikachu. I don't know if that's what was said, but, or maybe that
yes,
was
Jonathan. Deja. Yeah.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember if it was Deja or if it was Jonathan, but someone said Pikachu and I couldn't unsee it, so.
Same, yeah. I honestly, and skipping ahead a little bit, I wish she would have reversed the runway look with this look. This look is good. I mean, I like it. I feel like it would have been much better than the runway look, but we'll talk about the runway later. But
yeah.
It's definitely Betty Acid. Like, it's a carbon copy of Betty Acid. Acid Betty, I'm sorry.
And now you're saying that, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I know they're like, Daya Betty is Acid Betty's drag daughter. Although they don't say like drag mother or something like that, she mentioned, but it's carbon copy for me. Like, it, Acid walked in the rug room.
Are Acid Betty and Crystal Method related, or do I have something confused?
Oh my God, is it Crystal?
Oh my God.
Am I messing it up? We're not editing this out either. It was just going to be a fumble. Live on the podcast. So it's Crystal, because Crystal is with the she has a mullet, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God. I am terrible.
I was trying so hard to like read the room, and I was like, wait, is Acid Betty, because isn't there an Acid Betty?
Acid Betty was on Bob's season, and I think Acid Betty is from New York, so that doesn't even make any logical sense because they're not from New York.
Okay, I don't know any of them or their places well enough to be able to, you know. So I was like, "Oh, yeah, like a house, like a family."
Oh my God! Cool. Like, this is why you are here. This is why you are here to ask the questions that need to be asked.
That is good. I'm glad that we cleared
but
that up.
It is Crystal Method, not Acid Betty. Sorry, y'all, and it's all staying in here.
And we're going to be saying that a lot. So it doesn't matter that you.
There's
you
know. So many queens, y'all. I mean, and if you are a fan of Drag Race, you know, but yeah, y'all know what I meant. But it is a carbon copy for me.
No, and like I said, we're going to say that the whole episode, because like it really is. And, you know, that's just that. And it plays out that.
I do like this look, though. I do.
I don't care for that. I maybe it's because Jonathan, again, he's always in my ear. And the minute he said, like, these straight bangs are not doing it for me, they weren't doing it for me either. But the outfit itself is not bad.
Yeah,
I can see where I'm coming
from that.
Yeah, I like the, you know, the fit. And, you know, it cinches in. Like, she looks good. It's just, it gives very Crystal Method. And then we're going to continue on and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Crystal Method and Acid Betty.
It's okay.
It's fine.
If they listen to this podcast and have something to say, they can come on this podcast. I would love to have them, and I would love to talk to them. And then we will apologize in person. It'll be great. Okay.
Yes. It will be amazing. So definitely reach out to us if you are listening. Either one of you.
If you're listening, right now, great. We are sorry, and we want you on the podcast as a apology. Okay, that's what.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, what did you think about this Tic Tac photo shoot?
I mean, okay, I personally live for the gimmicks and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I think it's funny. It's not for everyone, but I thought it was hilarious. So when RuPaul was like, hey, Deja, come in here and just like record or, you know, take photos with this little tiny bowl of Tic Tacs. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, working it, popping her, her booty out and everything. I was like, okay, this is cute, but kind of weird.
Yeah, it's awkward.
And then the whole moment of just like, I wanted more Tic Tacs. You know, you knew it was totally planned, but it was funny.
Yeah.
And then the big giant ass pot of Tic Tacs came out, and I was like, okay, now we have a challenge. Let's do this. This is hilarious. You know, RuPaul, Drag Race quoting itself. This is great.
Yeah. I liked it. I feel like a lot of the queens gave good photos. They had fun with it. The whole Santino hat moment was kind of weird, and I feel like Maddie didn't even know what was happening.
I know you have it down in your notes later, but it kind of was giving me this moment, like you said in our notes, like you talking about understanding the art and culture of drag.
Yeah.
And I know, granted, okay, Santino's hat is not necessarily like drag culture, but it is a part of like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
kind of. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Maddie just like didn't have a clue, it was just kind of like, it was kind of funny. It was like, oh my God, you don't even know who she's talking about. You can't, because RuPaul wanted like a banter. RuPaul wanted a moment where you like made a joke about Santino, but nope, it didn't happen. So they just
made it. I'm wondering if it was like placed there for everybody or just Maddie.
Ooh, that's interesting.
And they just decided to put Maddie in there, because I mean, all these queens are so young. Like, I'm sure they probably weren't even old enough to watch the seasons with Santino on it. So exactly. I'm wondering if that was the best they can pull from that, and it just happened to be for Maddie. And
they all didn't know who Santino was. That would be so sad.
Yeah. Poor Santino.
And I say that as someone who just like, if you had asked me 2 years ago who Santino was, I wouldn't have known. But because I've watched all of the seasons like last year, it's just like in my brain. So
that could be. But I mean, this whole cast is pretty young. I mean, I think Lady Camden is the oldest at 30, and that's still freaking young. But so I don't know. And honest side note, I low key think that production is really pushing Maddie onto us. So I'm wondering if they picked his little like finding the hat because Maddie is who he is. You know what I mean? I feel like, I think we said it already, that we feel like it's not Maddie who's pushing the sexuality. It's the edit, basically. We're blaming it on the edit.
Exactly. Like, Maddie doesn't know who this person is. And then later we have to talk about that they're straight. And then in the stuff that happens later, like, it's more conversation about it. And maybe it's because it's episode one, and hopefully by episode one, part two or whatever, maybe by episode 3 or 4, it'll kind of start to coast. That's what I'm hoping, because otherwise it's going to get annoying and then I'm not going to care for Maddie, even though she's not that bad of a queen.
yeah, it kind of sucks because it's really not Maddie's fault. But Angie, well deserved, wins the mini challenge.
Killed it. It was beautiful. It was opulent. It was everything. I mean, and she's lying in a bowl of freaking Tic Tacs. Yes. She made it look like it was like an ad for like freaking, you know, Vogue or something. Like it was good. I was like, give it to her. And one thing Jonathan noticed is he was like, thank goodness that Drag Race has increased their budget, because the photography level, like, no offense to was it Mike Ruiz? No offense to him, but it just like, this is next level. Cause like, I liked it. I was gagged with the photos. I was like, this one and the last episode, killing it. Whereas sometimes in the past you were like, oh, okay, that's what we
got. Right. Absolutely agree. I definitely agree. Any of these photos could easily be in like a magazine somewhere. Like I said, it could easily be a Vogue photo. So, and plus the queens are getting money for winning these challenges. So I'm here for the budget increase. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yes. So we also get to know that we're doing another talent show. How do you feel about this talent show? Do you think, I mean, especially with these being new queens, because usually we do this for all stars. How do you feel about the talent show for new queens?
Do you know off the top of your head, like what the first challenge usually is? Because like, I'm finding that I actually don't know what the first challenge usually is, or if there is a usually, or if it's just kind of like, because I feel like it, sometimes it's what is it? Fashion challenge. What do they call it? Sewing challenge.
Like a ball. Sewing
challenge. Sometimes it's a ball. I don't think it's usually some kind of acting challenge. I know they've done the like make your own verse in a popular song a couple of times, unless that's just an international. But I'm okay with it just because I do think it gives them a lot of freedom to pick something they're good at. I do think it's a great way for us to get to know them because they can kind of come out and do their iconic thing. But I do think it's kind of setting this precedent that like the bar is getting higher, because in the past, these talent shows on episode 1 were kind of reserved for all stars. But now, it's like, nah, episode 1 shows what you're working with. And I feel like as a viewer, my expectations are higher, you know, like I'm expecting like top shelf performances, even though it's only episode 1 and, you know, these are new queens, new to the show, new to the environment. What about you?
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I didn't think of it that way because we are used to seeing this on All Stars and we know who those queens are. They're coming back. You know, we have this rapport. We may even seen them in the show live before by the time they get to All Stars. So we have an idea of who they are. So I feel like you said, the ball is probably set a little bit higher for these newer queens, because All Stars, like, you're coming out the gate with usually with a banger. So usually. So yeah, that's a good point. I guess I never thought about that. If this was last week, I would be here for it. But now this week, when everybody decided to freaking do a lip sync, like, we don't have lip sync for your life every single week.
Exactly.
I don't like this. I feel like, I think I read on Twitter, like, they should ban lip syncs, unless it's like an original song or original number, from being in a talent show. Because we all know, all of y'all have to have the skill to lip sync to be on Drag Race.
I don't want to say Drag Race 101. I'm not trying to make it sound like lip syncing and putting on a show is easy, but it is like, the reason why it's on the show is because it's literally the most basic form of like drag. Like, that's what you do. You go to the club and you do the lip sync and that's how you get your money. So you all have been doing that for so long. It's time to, I would think that on the Drag Race, you know, show, that it would be time to see something else. But yeah. I can agree. But I feel bad for the queens if we take that option away, because if you are like a little newer to the game, you know, like what if you, because you're not an all-star yet, you haven't had that mm-hmm. time to grow, you know. I don't know. So it's a mixed bag, I think, but I was excited to see what everyone had to offer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I feel like we came out the gate, I feel like, with a banger with Georges, although it was a lip sync, but I really think she killed it. Like, I loved it. The girl could dance.
Oh yeah, it was like a lip sync slash dance. You know, it mm-hmm. wasn't as intense as some of the other girls, but it was a solid one. And it was one of those ones, if you saw that at a bar, you'd be throwing your, you know, you'd be throwing your dollars.
Yeah. All over. Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed it. Again, she got really lucky because she went first. She got to set mm-hmm. the precedent. If someone like Jasmine Kennedy or Injeria had went first, it would not have gotten the same vibe because been there, done that, saw it done better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to run through this because there's really not much to say with the lip syncs. I mean, Jasmine also gave us a lip sync dance number, which Jasmine can also dance. Loved it. I did enjoy it, but it's also another lip sync.
Yeah, so. Another lip sync. Like, it basically just is like, oh, okay, so if someone goes up against you, they gotta work because you're gonna do a couple backflips, you're gonna hit the splits. We know what to expect.
Yeah, okay. See, me thinking a strategy, I don't think I would do a lip sync number. I think I would pick a different talent just so people don't see my cards. Like, I want to keep people guessing. But honestly, I don't know, for Georges, it seemed like everybody who walked in after her knew who she was, so they probably already know she can dance or whatever. But I don't know. I feel like I would try to, you know, have my poker face on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But
exactly.
Yeah, I.
And then we had Dia Betty, who mm-hmm. also did a lip sync number. What were your feelings on Dia Betty's performance?
I wrote down boring ass lip sync. It was just boring to me. I feel like she was trying. Not to say trying too hard, because I didn't really get like pink level energy. I mean, she had energy. It wasn't like dead, but it wasn't pink level energy. And then like the balloon gimmicks, and I feel like she was doing a little bit too much because she had that walkthrough with RuPaul, the person the show is named after, that I just
the forget. One we should be able to pull out of thin air, but for some reason we keep forgetting. You're not the only one. I'm like, whose show is this again? I don't.
But yeah, I think she was, you know, really trying to amp it up, but it her going after two other lip syncs didn't really help her either.
Exactly. I did. I was on TikTok scrolling, and I'm, you know, as a gay man, I'm on a lot of gay TikTok, so. Joe Lee Green Giant, he's a funny little TikToker, and he was talking about the show, and so I've got to give him his props because it's not my joke, but he was like, if she had, you know, taken off her hat and like it was a little hat, oh, so funny, let me take off this cape, it's a little cape, let me take off these shoes, if they had been more of a gimmick,
yeah,
made it more point. Drag, because like by the end of the show, we kind of see that she's going for this, like, I'm a clown persona-y mm-hmm. kind of thing with her outfits. And so it was like, well, that's what you were trying to do in your talent show, but you didn't go big enough. And it ended up just kind of being lackluster and plain and boring, especially when we just had the back flipping in the split.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I have to give him props, because I definitely, as soon as I heard it, I was like, that's exactly what the problem was with her performance.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think Rue was even into it once the hat came off. Like, I think she found that funny. Yeah, but I'm sorry, Betty. I'm just sorry. Maybe if you went first, I don't know. Placement is everything, too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Exactly. And next, we had Lady Camden. And I'm going to say is, as someone who does who's into fine arts, I was a little offended that RuPaul had the nerve to be like, ballet's boring. I was like,
low key, I was too.
I was like, excuse me,
excuse me. You have a skill skills that goes into that.
I was like, I'm 100% going to give you your props, RuPaul, for going up and doing that performance that you did, but also like ballet. Shuffle, sidestep. That's not ballet. Ballet is freaking difficult. And I'm like, I was a little offended. So when she came out and she did her little ballet number, I was a little nervous because, like, if she had just come out and like stood on a bar and went to her ballet class, we all probably would have been like, okay, that was a little slow. Maybe this is
yeah.
the right, venue for that. But when she came out with her little twist and, you know, like threw the shoes and kept making funny faces and was like, oh, I hate this, but I love this. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the twist on it. I love that she was doing all these moves in heels, by the way. Again, ballet is skill. So I agree. I was a little offended. Like, oh, I was bored. Like, sir.
If you're boring, just say that. Sorry, RuPaul, but like that moment,
I'm not even like too much into the arts or into like plays and things like that, but I know that ballet freaking takes skill, and that was offensive. But I think I love Camden's like twist on it. I love that she was doing all this in heels, like even the moves that she was doing. I'm like, how are you doing this in heels? This is insane. So I really loved it, and we know who she is. A lot of dancing queens this season.
Which I'm excited for. Personally love the dancing challenges and all of those things. So mm-hmm. I'm excited to have a bunch of talent in that area this season. I think that's going to make some sickening little numbers. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I cannot wait for that. Ugh. All right.
I'm sorry if you're, you know, that y'all can't see it, but every time we go down the line, we're both like, oh my God, this is what. So
I think Deja Sky had the same issue that Orion had last week.
Yeah.
Where like in your head, like, oh my God, this is hilarious. They're gonna gag. But you didn't workshop it. I feel like if it was workshopped a little bit more with this cheer dance / comedy kind of moment, I think it would have really hit.
Yes, 100,000 times. Like, it was just such a letdown. And again, I think it's the comedy curse. Like, maybe coming with your jokes, unless you are 1,010% that you're gonna kill it, it's just not the way to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say, because you know, it just wasn't giving what I wanted it to give. You know, I don't know what it needed, if it needed to be faster paced, or if at the end I wanted her to be like, and now put it all together and then like absolutely kill it. And like,
yeah, that's what I was waiting for. Yeah.
I was like, maybe if she had been like, it's so easy, just do these three things, and then like blown us away, it would have been funny. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Deja Sky.
Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking as well. Like, and that's actually what I was expecting. So maybe that's why she decided not to do that, because she maybe thought people would expect that she would at the end put in these like huge boom bam cheer moves at the end. Like, she didn't just give us some crappy tips. But I feel like that would have worked better, because that would have made Rue laugh. And that's the goal of the show, literally.
Exactly.
To make her laugh. So
you're trying to get in RuPaul's good graces so that she will shower you for the rest mm-hmm. of your life. And then you can like, and I'm saying that, and I have absolutely no clue how this show works or how any of the contracts work.
Yeah. So,
you know, don't come for me.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I did not research that.
Yes. It's the comedy in these talent shows. It's like we said last week, it's the Beyonce and Snatch Game. Just don't do it. Just do not do it. Yeah.
Do it. Stay away. Oh my goodness. But I still want somebody to do Beyonce and to make it funny. Okay. So if you're gonna be brave, do it and make it good. Okay. Because
I would laugh. It has to be so good. And there's a way to make Beyonce funny. Like, it can work, but
if Gigi Good can make a robot funny, I think someone can make Beyonce hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I just don't know it. Then we have Mattie Morphosis, who came out and did some live music on the guitar. What did you think of Maddie?
I actually loved it. I actually love blues, so I loved it. Clearly, you know, there's skill there, but I don't think it was meant for, it needed a little bit more oomph, just like the walk, the workroom walk-in. It was missing something. Like, I can appreciate the live guitar and appreciate the skills and even, you know, strumming with the tongue. I really can appreciate it and I did like it, but for, you know, Drag Race talent show, it kind of needed a little bit something more.
And her critique, which I know we'll get to, they were telling her, like, you were literally playing the guitar with your tongue. Like, that is so good and also mm-hmm. so drag, but we couldn't see it. So there was some lacking there as a performer. Like, we needed her to get out where, like, the guitar couldn't cover your face. We needed you looking down or to the side or thrashing around. It needed a little bit more to make it drag if you were really going to show. And I mean, Alicia Keys was vibing. So, you know, as soon as she started playing, I was like, oh, Alicia's going to love this. And she did. She, like, went back. She was like, oh, yes, this is good. And it was great music.
It was great.
It needed a little bit of for the Drag Race TNT talent show.
Yeah, it was just missing a little and I don't know Maddie's background. Maybe he's not used to playing, you know, for an audience. So that mistake of, you know, strumming with your tongue, but we couldn't see it, like the audience couldn't see it kind of thing was just, you know, maybe a rookie mistake. Mm-hmm. But also, I had to go back to the walkthroughs where Mama Ru basically outed Maddie.
How did we forget about that? Oh my goodness. Poor thing. And you know, production is everything, because Maddie makes this like totally big statement of how like she's gonna tell them when she's ready, and like she just wasn't ready. And then of course they start talking about freaking Gold Star Gaze. Oh, and Daya Betty's
Daya knows Maddie, so
you're not a Gold Star Gaze. I'm not, sorry. Oh no, I'm not. I lost my Gold Star, and I was just like,
But I can't appreciate Daya Betty, you know, not outing him, like knowing it and letting Maddie be the one that tells everybody. Like, I can appreciate that. I felt a little weird with Rue saying that. I don't know. I don't want to say it wasn't cool. It just didn't feel right. You know,
I'm having some really hard issues just because it's really weird that this whole thing with her being a straight queen, and again, I think it's production, but I absolutely abhor that it feels like they are trying to make her this like straight in a gay circle thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, but like, she is not coming out of the closet. Like,
that's what I'm like, it's just a weird feeling, because
Maddie is not coming out of the closet. Maddie is not, and I'm sure she has stories to tell about being a straight man, but like maybe feeling a little bit feminine and feeling more in touch with femininity. And I can't wait to hear that about her and to grow with her and to learn to love her. But in this moment, the way that production is kind of treating this like a coming out story, but for straight. It makes me a little uncomfortable, just because as someone, you know, who is a gay man, like it's not the same, and you are not being ridiculed for who you choose to love, and you know, you've had your right to marry who you love since the beginning. And so I'm just I will say, getting into this episode, it feels weird that they are making it that way. When it was announced, I didn't feel that way. And I was like, let's just see her work. But I'm annoyed with production right now, because it feels like they're trying to push this straight guy coming out of the closet narrative. And I don't care for it.
Sorry. My words.
I'm so sorry. I will step down now. I will drink some water and cool off. But that was
no. I 100% agree. That's why I'm like, can we even really call it outing? Because it was just weird. And that's why I'm like, it's hard to like have an emotion, like a word, or just, you know, how to say how you feel about it. It's literally just weird because it's like, and again, like you said, I don't think it's Maddie. I think it's production. Why are we trying to push this narrative like he, as a straight white male, is going to have the same experience as a gay person coming out? Like, that's, I don't like this narrative. I think it's really all for a show and more clicks and get people to talk about the show, which clearly is the goal of production. They want more people to listen to it, but it's just weird. It's really weird. And I don't know if you watch Untucked. He kind of touched about it because, you know, usually Untucked, we have those like kind of moments where the queens talk about like their upbringing and maybe having to come out. So they had that moment then. And, you know, Maddie sat back and let them talk, you know, and he was like, of course, I don't have the same experience as you all. He talked a little bit about how he always thought he was a good ally, because in high school he was just like, yeah, you know, I'm okay with gay people. But as he got into the clubs and more of the drag scene, he started to realize that being an ally isn't just being like, okay, you know, I don't have a problem with you. It's really about the action. So I'm like, okay, like, I can hear where Maddie is coming from. So it's just so weird to watch this whole show of this production trying to push this narrative like, oh, he's coming out, he, you know, this whole big thing. And clearly Maddie is a person that's like, you know, I'm truly an ally. They even, I think Lady Camden is like, oh, like, you're paving the way for straight people who want to do drag. And Maddie is like, I don't think all straight people should do drag. I'm like, okay, like, I get it. He was like, you should understand the culture, you should understand the art form. And I don't want people to think like it's just a good time to just dress up and put on some makeup with friends, because that's not what drag is. Like, it's a whole culture behind it, and it's a whole art form. I'm like, I'm here for what he is saying. I'm not here for what production is trying to push us.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you added that perspective, because I think that really did a good job of getting kind of like both sides of the story. Because I was feeling really bad, because like, I am not ragging on Maddie. I'm just upset with that little narrative. And I mean, I think Maddie is getting put in a very good place to have a very good platform. And, you know, like, I would love to see her run with it and to talk about like not being, you know, this little buzzword in Planners and Wine, not that it's a bad word, but that no performative allyship, and like really giving your all and living the verb of being an ally. I think that is so important. And I would love to see her, like, that's where her platform's gonna go, as opposed to, I'm coming out, I'm a straight drag queen, you know, straight people should do drag. I think it would be better if the narrative is the, don't be a performative ally, be an ally.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like Maddie gets that, and it seems like he's even open to continue to educate himself and learn more to be a better ally. I think that's his goal. It's a little just disappointing that production is pushing this kind of narrative that he's like, he's coming out, or he got pulled out the closet by Rue. Like, and this is like a gay iconic show that is very mainstream. So it's just so disappointing that production is trying to take this angle just for more basically clicks and views.
But clickbait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Click that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We digress.
Yeah. Back to the Maxi Challenge. Yes. We've got one more queen, Angeria. Oh my goodness. Like, after
release the tape.
Exactly. After seeing six queens that were like lip syncing, and it was kind of like, oh, okay. She just came out and closed the show, I tell you. Oh my goodness. I was like, the episode finished and I was like, okay, check. I was like, are you a planner? Oh my God, a to-do list.
Yes.
Check. Be great. Check. She knows. She knows. Yes. She was working it. I was loving it. Oh my goodness.
What did you think? My God. If we find out that Angie is a planner babe, I am going to die.
She will be on the podcast. We will make it happen. I don't care how many times I got to get her DMs. I find out she got a planner. Like, we have the podcast. We have the podcast.
We have to talk.
This is the podcast.
It was so good. It was so good. She came out with that like big, floofy, very old school pageant. And I'm just like, I'm here for it. I'm sold. Like, you didn't even have to do anything else. You won.
Just walk out. Just walk out. And I'm like, okay.
Then we had like a mini reveal with that coming out. Oh, it was just so good. I love the original songs because like clearly it's you made the song. And I think it was Daya that was like, you know how some drag queens will make a song and be like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. But like, this song was good. This song was good. Like, you should release more songs.
Release the tape. Like you said, I was like, I want to download this. I want your song. It was so fun. And I want to check off all these things on my to-do list because that was so good. It was awesome. I didn't know if Angeria was known for her dancing and she was serving it, you know?
Yeah.
I was okay, Angeria. She got some moves on. So I'm excited to see what else she can bring to the table because she brought basically everything so far. We've got personality. We've got the moves. We've got the looks. We've got the fashion. Like,
I mean, top four for sure. Yes. Top four.
Please.
We're going to get the original lyrics added to one of Mama Ru's songs, and I can't wait for it.
I'm here for it. I will say I had kind of like a sad, like sentimental moment. And I don't know. I think it's just because we've got kind of the Southern Belle, and I don't know. She was out there working it, and I just couldn't help but think of, is it Chi Chi? Is it Devane? What is her last name?
Yeah.
And you know, rest in peace. And that's what kind of just made me sad. I was just like, oh, Gigi, because you know, she came and she was all rough and then she came back and she had this little polish. And then we, you know, we lost her. And Angeria was just I was getting emotional because of that while watching Angeria just like kill it. And it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah. Gigi. A beautiful soul, like, oh my God, could perform the house down. I did get a chance to meet her.
No. And
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm gagged right now.
And got to see her live.
Oh.
When I say, like, I heard the news, like, it's just, even just, like, just meeting her, like, obviously she doesn't know who I am, but it's, like, who she was on the show is truly who she is. Like, she just had a pure heart. And it's just gone too soon, man. Like, just a great, like, a beautiful soul. A beautiful soul, seriously. Oh, we love Chi Chi. But we still have the runway.
Sickening signature drag.
And yes.
It was a good runway, I think. You know, I think, like, we had a lot of really great things going on, and we started with Georges in this strappy purple, right? I'm not getting that color wrong. Gown.
Yeah, it's purple.
she walked down and then she revealed this like stoned naked bodysuit. She was giving me Selena, and I was just like, yes, Georges, thank you for this. And I thought it was really true to what we had seen so far. When you think about what her first look was, even her second look during her dance, I was like, okay, I think we've got a pretty good idea of what Georges is here to show us. So good for you.
Yeah. I loved it. I even love like once the like purple, like it's given royalty, like the purple attached, but I love it taken off as well. I think it was a really good look. It really was a really good look. Oh, it just, it's so beautiful on her too.
And she paints well. I'm enjoying everything. And like, I guess that would be the time to say it. I'm a little nervous that just like, she's going to be the one that's just kind of, because she's so young, you know, all she has is the hello, Tis, it's Georges. You know, I'm wondering if she's going to be able to answer questions and like have that personality and that depth that we need from a queen, you know, but I'm here for it. I would love to see her live because she's giving me everything I want.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think I'm a little nervous for her for like the acting challenges.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. She might turn it.
Exactly. Love it. And then we have, who is it? Deja. Yeah, Deja Sky. And she came out in lace. What did you think of her lacy number?
I liked it. The cape, I guess, could have, like, it looks a little bit bunchy. But overall, I like it. I love the two patterns, like the lace pattern and this like kind of floral pattern. I know she made this. It's very well constructed. Sewing challenge. Good luck, girls. But she,
yes, Deja is going to come through. So good luck on that.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed a lot of people not really feeling it, but I actually liked it. I thought it was good.
Maybe I'm not remembering. I think the judges, it was pretty well received by the judges.
Yeah.
I think they were like, you've killed it on the fashion week, but in the challenge, it wasn't, you know. So I'm very, very happy with Deja's runway. Okay. I have one word for you for this next person. Jasmine. Ta-da! I'm sorry. I just love that, like, in her critiques, I think every person made a comment about her chest. I was just like, okay,
yeah,
you know, but we love it. We love it. We love a breastplate. And in my
Yeah, she definitely was like, give me the largest tits you have in my sides. The largest. Thank you. Here's the check. But yeah, I really like this look. This one is very old school pageant too.
And that's, everyone made comments about that. And forgive me, because I do not remember any of the people they were quoting her about. But it was giving what it needed to give. It was beautiful. It was giving body. It was giving grace. And I think it kind of told us a little bit more about Jasmine Kennedy than I was originally expecting to know. Like at the beginning, I didn't know this was what Jasmine was going to be serving. But with her lip sync, and then now this moment, I'm like, you put some respect on your name. I'm excited to see what you have Absolutely. Next. I'm really excited to see what she comes with next.
Yeah, I would have never guessed this from the promo, all that. Like, yeah, I didn't even think that she would be like very pageant-y kind of queen. No. But yeah, we know who you are now. So
give me some more.
Yeah, we're here for it. We are here for it. Okay. Next up is Maddie.
When I tell you, I literally screamed when she walked out and her head was not where her head was supposed to be. I'm just glad that someone finally did Marie Antoinette and actually had her head chopped off. Like everyone always does, like let them eat cake, girl, right? I'm not getting my excuse. So everyone always does that and has like the cake and stuff. But then someone was like, nah. The bitch gets her head chopped off. Let's walk down the runway like it. I really enjoyed it. What did you think?
I loved it. I really did. I thought they were going to clock her for the no heels, but mind you, Maddie is bent over. So he stood there, and you know, like with recording on the runway, like they be standing there for some time now, like it ain't just like the 15 minutes that we see, of course. But I'm surprised they didn't say it. Maybe that's why, because they know he is bent over. But I mean, if he would have came out in heels and bent over, that's talent right there.
Yeah, that would have been talent. Like, you slayed it, you killed it, you know.
Yeah, but I get it. That would be extremely hard and low-key kind of dangerous too. So I'm probably, like, for safety reasons, they were like, just nah. But I loved it. I love the little bouncing of the head, like moving around, the little hands waving. Like it's like, I think Michelle was like, it's borderline costume, but I think you did it very well. And I would agree with that.
And I will say, I am questioning a little bit. I mean, I know Maddie said she was here to serve a lot of camp, but it does feel like we got a bunch of costume. And so it's like, who are you, Maddie? Because look one, you were Guy Fieri. Look three, you're, you know, Marie Antoinette, and then look to, you know, you were like rocker chick. So it's kind of like we're still kind of figuring out, Maddie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I feel like that's a fair critique. But next.
If this is, if this look doesn't say that she needs to be on Reality and Wine, I don't know what does. Yes. She comes out in this very pageant, beautiful gown, wine colored, and she is happy to let you know on that. And I literally put in my notes, Angeria, we need to get you on the show with that wine look. I literally, I love this wine. I was like, oh my God, it was meant to be Angeria. Come on.
It really was. It's just perfection. And I know, like I said, I am a little biased towards pageant drag, but I like what I like. I mean, I love all drag, but you know, I swing towards the pageant, and it's just so good. The fit is right. The makeup is right. Hair is right. The color against her skin just looks so good.
Beautiful.
Even the accessories is like, it's perfect. Perfect amount of accessories. Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. And Rue loved it. You could tell she was eating it up.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. Just having queens that know, I mean, and just coming out that early in these like high level looks, you know, like if someone came in that at the end of, you know, in their best drag or whatever, we would all been like, oh, you're so beautiful, you're gorgeous. And seeing that episode one, like, I'm intimidated. I would be intimidated if I was on that show. I'd be like, holy crap, this girl.
Hell yeah.
Like,
hell yeah.
She really said, give me the crown now. I'm ready. Like, I'm
period. Mentally. Yeah.
So they got some big shoes to fill, y'all, because, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Speaking of shoes.
You want a segue? Come on, y'all. Y'all better be in Myra's DM giving her some flowers.
I learned from the best. Shout out to Meg. I've been picking up the little cues.
Speaking of shoes, Lady Camden, and everyone loved this number. And I'm gonna be honest, I was not the biggest fan. There is a lot going on, but hearing their critiques kind of, you know, changed my opinion, just because they said it well. Like, we know who she is and we know what she's going for, and she's serving it, you know. And so I will give them that. I can agree there, even though I was not the biggest fan of this look. Like, if I had to pick my favorite look, it would not be hers, but I respect the judges saying that because it's true. And now at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh, I know what to expect from Lady Camden.
Yeah, that's very much so true, but I don't like the shoes, obviously, from the second. I don't like the shoes. I feel like, I'm like, when she came out, I'm like, man, this bird is sick. Like, this bird looks very sick. Like, it's missing bird. Like, it's skinny. But
has been through, okay, this, you realize this bird has been living through a pandemic, Myra, okay? True. This bird has been living through 2020 and 2021. It is 2022. This bird is going through it.
Yeah, but it's very Lady Camden. So, I mean, I can give it to her that it is her aesthetic. I get that. I know who she is from this look. It's just not one of my faves at all. I think she said it was a peacock.
Yeah, I mean,
and it may be the bird of where she's from. Like, I don't know.
Peacock's the bird of the UK? I don't know. I got some peacocks in my bathroom. That's the color scheme we're going for in our bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, it just wasn't my favorite look. The shoes gave me very like those 90s moon boots, but she is a 90s pop star, so I mean it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's the point. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. The shoes, go for it. Yes, go for it. To the next one.
Yeah, can we leave the shoes in 2021, please?
Yes, please.
But lastly, we have this very laced up look from Diabetti. What do you think of this one?
You know, I will say, I like this look. I don't. The problem with me, for me, is that I, for this to be your, what's the name of this challenge? A sickening signature drag. I have to know what you are before. And, you know, we talked about how we're getting like cookie cutter Crystal Method. Like Crystal Method had the same issue at the beginning of this, her season. She was not doing the best at the beginning of her season.
Yeah.
She was having issues figuring out who she was and trying to represent what she called, I think, clown couture and all this stuff, or whatever she called it, to the best of her abilities. And it wasn't until like halfway through that she figured it out. And I feel like this whole, you know, episode for Diabetti was very that, where she was just trying to put on all these different faces, and I was having issues seeing what it was. But I liked the idea of the look. Oh my goodness, this strappy dress made with all ribbon, you know, and still giving me kind of like clown with these like circus colory kind of moments. I liked
it. Yeah.
But I know it was lacking some finesse, right? They said stuff in the judging panel.
I mean, like I said, I really wish she would have worn the walk-in look on the runway, because I feel like I know a lot more from the walk-in look of who Diabetti is than from this.
And it goes really, her walk-in look kind of works with her performance, because, you know, you were getting pink, so it's like pop, but a little punk rock. And then, you know, with her performance being like kind of campy, it was like, okay, we kind of know who you are. And then this just, it just missed the mark in the end, you know?
Yeah. And she could not lip sync in this. Like, it's just, it's too tight. But I mean, maybe she was thinking that she would not be lip syncing. Yeah. So yeah. And they, of course, I feel like the con of the two-part premiere is that you can't make any mistakes, because it's only seven of you guys.
Yes.
There's more, you know, we can look at you a little bit more. I feel like if this was all of the queens together, she would be safe.
Yes,
she would be safe. But unfortunately, it is a two-part premiere, and like even like the little rip in the back, which I thought was intentional.
I didn't notice it. Yeah. When they said it, I was like, oh, is that not part of the look? You know, like a little slit. But they're like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad look. I just wish, oh, if she just would have swapped it, I feel like somebody else would have went home today. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Say that then, Myra. Okay, go to that. Well, so Angie, of course, she takes the win. She gets her $5,000, and we are gagged. We're in love, you know.
Yes.
And then Deja and Betty end up in the bottom two. And of course, they got to do an Alicia Keys number. How did you feel about Fallen being the song that they chose?
I mean, it's, I don't know if it's a, I mean, it's an okay song. I mean, I guess. I wouldn't even talk about Alicia Keys being there at all, because I'm just like, she's not really a good judge. I love Alicia Keys, love her music. Yes. I think she's a great person, but I don't think she's a good judge for this show.
And like, I don't know, because like, she's not heavy in like the, I don't know, or maybe I'm not watching the right shows, you know, that could just be me, but she's not like big in like any like social media capacity. Like, I don't
see
her like being this, you know, especially when we just had Lizzo, like, and come on, Lizzo was like,
it's hard to top that.
Like hitting the table while they were dancing to her stuff. And Alicia Keys, like, she's just a really chill person. In any interview you've ever seen, like, she's got a very few words, she's got a very somber personality, you know, even though the music she does is fire, but she also does a lot of like kind of more lo-fi stuff, like, that's why you don't hear her a lot on the radio. And so I was like, if they had done, you know, Call Me, Basic, but if they had done like This Girl Is on Fire or Girl on Fire or whatever, like, that would have been, that would have had some energy. But it was really hard for, I think, these two queens specifically to serve it to Fallen. Like, in the end, I was like, honestly,
it could be anyone. Yeah, I don't feel like anybody did better than the other. It was very meta. I think they picked this song because this Fallen does have that emotion, and yes, maybe they were trying to, but these two queens just weren't the right queens for that, honestly. But,
yeah, they weren't doing Chi-Chi Devane ripping the pearls off, or
Royale
just like killing it with the emotion. Yeah. And so that was a hard lip sync, and it wasn't my favorite. But in the end, Betty sashayed away. Mm-hmm. And what did she say? She said, "Oh shit," right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think she fell into that curse of being a drag daughter or a sister or some kind of relative to somebody who's already been on the show and did well. Like, I feel like those people are really cursed and leave early. Like, we got it from Vanjie because she was
Alexis Mateo.
Yeah, drag daughter. And I think Broccoli, I can't even think of her name now. She was a drag daughter for some. Yeah, the one that did the broccoli suit and she left first.
Oh my goodness.
I can't think of her name.
No, I can't either.
But the point is, that is a curse of you have like some kind of relative that did well in prior seasons. So I think she may have fell for that curse. I would have liked to see more from Daya Betty. She was not on my list to go first.
No.
Yeah.
Not, especially not from when you consider the 14. Mm-hmm. In the 7, I wouldn't have said that I thought she was going to go home first, but it's just like based off of the performances. I knew she was going to be in the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's so hard with 7. I was just like, oh, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. And I was happy because I do want to see more from Deja Sky. I want to see her. I want to see her succeed in a sewing challenge. Her personality's there, so I would love to see her kill it in an acting challenge. I'm hoping, and if not, then she can go home too.
Yeah. We'll definitely see. Do you agree with the bottom two though?
Let me see. I think it was hard just because Maddie really killed it on the runway.
Yeah. I think
that's because otherwise it would have been her in the background. Because there was no way they were going to do Nigeria, no way they were going to do Miss Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's really kind of who it had to be. I'm like, and Maddie had the better runway. So, I agreed. I don't think,
and plus could. Production needs to milk this whole straight thing
a little exactly bit. And that's another kind of annoying thing in it, is that we're probably going to get that for a while.
Yeah, like I said, like I'm kind of over it. I feel like Maddie personally is probably kind of over it too. Like, he came in and like, I don't want that to be, I want you to know me from my drag, like, which I get. I feel like a lot of us, especially minorities, feel that, like, I want you to know me for me, not because I'm this person, I'm gay or I'm black, or I don't want to be that person, like, know me for me. So I get that, but production, I'm a little disappointed. I hope it doesn't get worse than this, because it's hard to watch. It's like, it's cringy.
It's uncomfortable. And I don't think that, from what I've seen of Maddie, it doesn't seem like she's that comfortable talking about it. Like, like, she didn't want to out herself right away to the cast, And then in other moments, she just keeps saying, like, I don't want to be known for this. And I don't want to speak for gay people. I'm just here to play the game. And I'm like, let her play. Let her work.
Yeah, that's it. Just play the game. And, exactly. But we got to make money. I guess that's a part of the game too. So
capitalism.
Yeah. But I was okay with this episode, but it was not given like last week's. It just wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
It was not. It was not on the same level. Quick like side conversation. What are you looking forward to going into episode 3, now that we're going to have our top 12, like, and having these kind of two groups of 6 like collide? I don't know. Is there anything you're like excited about?
I'm actually really excited to see what these candy bars have to do in the game.
Yeah.
Come on. I just want to know. What's the tea? I'm still kind of holding out hope that the two eliminated queens come back somehow. So I'm excited to see. Like, I don't know. I was watching the whole Untucked until literally it changed to the different show that came on after Drag Race. Like, there has to be something. There has to be like a little pop up of Ru on the camera somewhere. Like, they're right. Coming back.
I keep waiting for it. Like, yeah. Are you really not going to say anything? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like, are they just going to be gone? Because that's so crappy. You didn't even meet half your sisters. But
yeah. I just hope they're really not gone. At least just to meet everybody else.
Exactly.
Or maybe they do like bring somebody back or whatever. But I don't know. So that's the two things. And of course, Cornbread and Angie. Obviously, I mean, exactly.
Anything they do for them to meet, because I feel like. Personality-wise, like they would mesh. I don't know. I'm excited to see the six and six get to meet together. I also know from Instagram, like I'm pretty sure like Angeria and like Carrie Colby are really close or something mm-hmm. like that. So I'm excited to see those like kind of connections finally get made. Cause you know, of course they're playing it off right now. The edit is like very like this six versus this six mean girl stank mode, but it's never quite to that extent, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for the sisterhood to finally begin and to have the, you know, all 12 of them in the room. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for entertaining my random question.
No, I love that question. I'm looking forward to that too. I feel like this cast really meshed together. Like we're probably really going to get some good confessionals and good mirror talks. You know, they have those good conversations on the mirrors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be any like drama, honestly. I think this is going to be not like RuPaul's best friend race, but just a good conversation. Like we're going to have fun this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to pick out like a villain, you know, whereas like last season coming out the gate, we knew Tamisha Amon had some things to say. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that was the edit she got and, you know, she chose that edit and then they knew it. They edited it for her. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Now I see in our notes, we talked kind of a little bit about the conversation with Maddie and Untucked, but there was a live with Maddie and Deja. I missed it, but you saw a little bit of it. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. Usually, which is really weird because I usually don't follow the queens until after the season, just because I don't want to
spoil anything.
I want to see it like in real time, but I started following them because, you know, reality and wine. But anywho, I caught their live and Deja and Maddie were just kind of talking about the conversations of basically racism within the drag race and drag community. And he had mentioned that, like, I'm very appreciative that people are like tagging me and saying that they're looking forward to like my drag on the show, but they're always tagging me with like one or two other of the white queens on the show, and it's like why is that the case? So I'm just like,
dang,
I'm kind of warming up a little bit to Maddie again, not to the way production is portraying him, but to Maddie the person, because it seems like he is willing to have these conversations and work through this stuff within the community and really be a really good ally. Also I learned, I guess, from this episode that I just thought Deja was just black. I don't know if it's just my black eyes. I'm like, but she's mixed. So she has kind of a different outlook on it. So she kind of talked about that a little bit too, being half white and half black, and how that has, how her upbringing has been and how it portrays in drag and all that stuff. But yeah, I just thought it was a really good conversation, and I'm glad that they had that publicly, because a lot of people that were in the comments are like, oh, you know, I never thought about that. Like how, you know, I can be like, oh, I like Maddie and Jasmine and not even realizing why am I leaning towards just the white queens on the show. So I just thought that was just a really, really good conversation that they had. And I'm excited to get to know Maddie more. I will say publicly on the show, I 100% judged him before I got to know him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure he gets it. He gets it.
And again, it's with the production thing. Cause like they came out and it was like, first foot in the door was, I'm a straight queen. And it wasn't that, I highly doubt that the first thing Maddie said when she walked in, or even on her tape, her audition mm-hmm. tape, was, hi, I'm Maddie and I'm the straight queen.
I just can't see that. Yeah.
And so I do appreciate that we're seeing in the other facets of her that mm-hmm. she does have more depth to her, and she is willing to speak out about, you know, making sure that she's not the center of the conversation all the time.
Yeah.
And providing voices and spaces for the people that that it should. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just, yeah. Too. Thank you for bringing that up, because I totally forgot about it.
I'm just reading the list that you made, girl. So, you know, old Myra is patting, you know, present Myra on the back. I did want to say that, just on that topic, I don't know. I know RuPaul hasn't always been perfect about this, but I appreciate that RuPaul, I think, does respect that she has a platform that, one, is like worldwide, international, mm-hmm. and two, yes. it is very public and very mainstream, because she unapologetically puts those in those dang, you know, make sure you vote posters mm-hmm. at the front of, you know, every episode. And I think that's something important. And I think, you know, as much as sometimes I get annoyed with those, you know, what do you call it, the mirror talks, just because I feel yeah. bad for the queens that they're like trying to paint their face in 30 minutes. And they're like, so tell me about your childhood trauma.
Right. But yeah.
I think that these are important conversations. And I think that's something that RuPaul recognizes. I think that's why RuPaul does the speak to your child, you know, mm-hmm. thing at the end. I think that's why RuPaul talks a lot about your inner saboteur. It just because she knows that she's been given this giant platform, and she wants to use it to highlight the voices that need to be highlighted and, you know, change the queer community for the better. And I appreciate that. And I know there are people who probably feel differently, and I would love to have a conversation about it, because I know it's not just that, but I do think some props are to be given, because I do appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're trying to change this trajectory of what Drag Race was, because we know Mama Ru had some hot takes, especially with trans people being on the show.
Yeah.
So I really think they are trying to like push that, like, you know, hey, yeah, she said that in the past, but we're trying to move past that and make this a very positive and inclusive kind of show. But yeah, if you got some hot takes, I'm sure, like you said, there's a ton of people who do not agree with us on that at all. So yeah, just let us know. Like, yeah, we would love to talk about it. But yeah, I'm still enjoying the show. I appreciate what they are doing for the community, and, you know, getting these voices out here and all that good stuff. And drag is inclusive, and production and me just gonna have to have a talk of how they pushing Maddie. This is insane.
Exactly. Sit down on the Untucked. We need to go to the Untucked lounge. We need to get our drinks, because we need to have a talk.
let's talk about it. Like, this is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. I'm not even pushing the two trans queens like that. Like, that was, I don't even think they even mentioned that in the first episode.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, Carrie, I don't think
Carrie
even got much.
Carrie was like, as soon as she walked in, was like, I am wearing colors. But she's, yeah, it was her. Like, it wasn't
RuPaul production. Yeah.
So you're a trans queen, right?
Yeah. Like, maybe how weird is that?
Maybe she's trying to read the room, you know, like, don't call, just call it all out. But yeah, you're right. And how many is, we have Carrie, we have Cornbread. It's just two, right? Is it just two this season?
Yeah, Carrie and Cornbread.
But that's still like a lot by,
yeah, that's know? A lot. Yeah. I mean, for Drag Race compared
that's
to,
1/7 of the cast. Look at my hat. That is 1/7 of the cast.
That's but it wasn't a huge deal, like this whole straight thing. And I I hope this is it. I hope we're not going to get this pushed down our throats the whole season, because that's going to suck. That is going to suck. Yeah. But yeah, I am so excited to be doing this with you. I think what we say, like, the next two episodes, I think
so. Unless, you know, stuff hits the fan in the next episode, maybe, you know, we'll do two episodes, and then we can talk about it. We can come meet back and talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. So you guys will be back in 2 weeks. But like we said, if we have another Tamisha Amanda moment, we'll be back here. So don't worry about it. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. But let us know. Give us some feedback. We have the options on Spotify if you want to chime in. I'll leave some questions and stuff there. Follow us over at Reality and Wine. You can comment on the post there. And yeah, that's all I can think of. You have anything you can add or throw out there?
Just follow me at Danny Planted if you want.
Yes, which you should be doing already. Like, duh.
Period. Like, come on now. Where have you been?
Yes, yes. But yeah, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Okay, unless something blows up, which I don't think so. Hopefully. I don't think with this cast. But yeah, we'll see you guys then.
Bye.